Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears off and running with you here on this Monday, October the 5th, 2020. 16 minutes past the hour, and it is the first Monday in the month of October. Now, we're going to be, it's just going to be me and you today, alone on the toll-free line. And I've got something to tell, well, a couple things I want to tell you about that happened this past weekend, but what a foggy morning it is out there this morning. Holy mackerel. It is like pea soup in the city out there this morning. And you know what's strange? Usually when I get on Center Street or go down Route 95, it clears up a little bit because there are buildings and it's harder for the fog to get around. Not this morning. This fog is everywhere this morning, and hopefully it burns off here pretty quick because it is making travel conditions very, very hazardous this morning. But hopefully everybody's getting to where they need to go okay this morning. Now, here's something I wanted to talk about. 17 and a half minutes past the hour here. Well, first of all, let me give you a little sneak preview about next hour. I have a confession to make about something that happened this past weekend that really nobody knows about. Matter of fact, I don't think I've told anybody about this. But because we are an on-air family here, I like to think we're an on-air family. Next hour, at the top of the hour, at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, when we come back from the 9 o'clock break, I am going to tell you this secret that really nobody knows about. And let me tell you, it's an interesting secret. And it has to do with why I should not go out in public, to be honest with you. So this is a big secret, big confessional that will come up at 9:15 this morning. Now, here's something I want to talk about. Now, this morning you might notice my voice sounds a little, I don't know, a little husky. I don't know if it sounds husky to you or not. But here, this is what I wanted to start talking about this morning, start off talking about. Now, we are in the middle of this pandemic. And there's a lot of people nervous about it because nobody wants to get sick. Certainly nobody wants to get sick with the pandemic. But it is also allergy season. It is also cold and flu season. And what I noticed over the weekend was there were a lot of people with allergies buying sinus medication and things of that nature. And there are a lot of people coming down with colds because of the weather change. Now, I don't have a cold, thank goodness, but I did notice yesterday that my voice was a little husky. Now, this usually happens, number one, because on the weekend, I really don't say a whole lot. Well, certainly not as much as I do during the week, being on the radio, so you don't use your voice as much. And when the weather takes a change as quickly as it did and all the moisture comes out, your voice changes in a little bit of a way. Now, I don't have any type of fever. I don't have any body aches or pains or anything like that. It's just all in the voice. But during this pandemic, which we have never been through before in the modern age, what's interesting is if you're having seasonal allergies or if you've got a cold or if you have a husky voice or anything like that, everybody thinks you have the pandemic. Everybody thinks you have the COVID-19. And it's really kind of strange because people are sneezing now and people are coughing and some people have the sniffles. And it's really interesting to watch this happening. Now, I don't know how this is going to play out as we go into December and January, because if people think you really have the COVID, are people going to start avoiding each other? Are people going to be more apt to wear the masks? Are people going to do things of that nature? I don't know. It's very strange right now because people are scared, rightly so, of getting the COVID-19, but I don't think everybody has COVID-19. I think some people really just are experiencing horrible sinus issues. And also just the change in weather does do things to your voice, does do things to your body chemistry, and does things, you know, some people do get a runny nose if you have allergies, seasonal colds, so on and so forth. But has anybody else noticed this? Give me a call, because is it making people paranoid to a certain degree that people are starting to not feel as well as they were? You know, when it's 80 or 90 degrees outside, highly unlikely you're going to have a whole lot of allergy issues, or highly unlikely that you're going to have a whole lot of seasonal allergy issues. You can have allergy issues in the summer, of course, but I'm talking about seasonal allergy issues, or those things that just happen when the weather changes, those colds that happen, those little incidents. Is everybody going to think that this is COVID-19 because of where we are now? We really haven't faced this, because when this whole thing started back in March, you know, we were kind of already headed into somewhat warmer weather. April was not really all that cold, if I remember, and I don't think May was really all that cold either. So we were already kind of headed into the warmer weather by the time June came around and the start of summer came around. But here we are in the fall, and we are going to experience temperatures starting to go down instead of going up like they did in the beginning of this. And I'm not really sure what people are to do in this particular case. If you have your normal seasonal allergies, or you have your normal seasonal cold, or you have your normal sore throat or whatever it is, I mean, do you run and get a COVID test even though you know what the illness is? Or do you just go to your doctor and maybe see what they think? I don't know what you do. Normally, you wouldn't do anything. You might just call in the allergy medication and go that route. But if you go into these businesses where they're taking your temperature and things of that nature, you might get a different reaction. So I don't know. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I think it's really interesting, because it's unprecedented, the times we're going into. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know what we're supposed to do during these times? It's fascinating to watch. And, you know, I don't think anybody is purposely going to go out and try to infect somebody. At least sane people are not going to do that. So it's, but boy, people will get paranoid. People get paranoid. If you even tell them you feel the slightest bit off, they get a little, boy, iffy. The nerves come out. You see the nerves come out for sure. And I'll tell you the interesting thing, because I've told you this before, and I've been doing this for a long time on radio. You know, normally when I get that little bit of huskiness or anything in my voice, or anything even remotely like that, what I normally do, and I'm not sure if it's right or not, but what I normally do is take some NyQuil, because it helps you sleep, and it seems to knock it out of you. But here's the problem with NyQuil, if you really want to know. And I think it leads to a husky voice sometimes. When you have to get up really early in the morning, if you don't take NyQuil until like after 10 o'clock at night, you sleep so well, but you have a hard time getting up, and it takes a long time for it to wear off. I don't know how long it's supposed to take NyQuil to wear off, but I think it takes about 12 hours, to be honest with you. It takes a long time for that to get out of your system. I don't know what is so powerful in NyQuil that it just kind of slows down all your body chemistry. It makes your head kind of foggy. It just makes you feel very tired, because I think that's what it's supposed to do. Maybe that's why they've invented DayQuil. But, you know, I don't understand the difference between those either. I mean, they say that one is so you can stay awake and do your work, and then one is to put you to sleep. But I don't know what they are putting in that one at night that knocks you out as opposed to the one during the day that doesn't knock you out. Does anybody know about any of this stuff? If anybody knows about any of it, give me a buzz here. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Then I was trying to find my paper this morning because we go through this every year, and we went through it just a couple weeks ago. Is it starve a fever, feed a cold, or feed a fever, starve a cold? Feed a fever, starve a cold. Starve a cold, feed a fever. Now, we went through this a couple weeks ago, and I thought we did get the definitive answer, and I did write it down. But the problem with writing it down is I think I shoved it in a drawer somewhere, so I don't have it readily available to me at this particular point. But if I remember right, and I think this seems right, it's starve the cold, feed the fever. But I think when we talked about this last time, the whole point of it ended up being that it doesn't really work anyway, because it's just an old wives' tale. Does anybody remember old home remedies? You know, we talk about this from time to time here on the program, and I'm always fascinated by what people used to do to get rid of colds and sometimes chicken pox and measles and mumps and the flu. People used to do all kinds of things. You know what I don't see a whole lot of anymore? Do you remember the old Vicks Vapo machines that used to be out? Anytime you had a cold or any type of congestion, they would get that Vicks machine out, which I think you filled with warm water, if I remember right. You would fill the Vicks machine with warm water, and then you would put a little bit of Vicks on the top of it. And then you would plug it in. It did have an electric component. And somehow the machine would start to bubble, and it would put out steam through the top, which I think went through the Vicks, which made your whole room smell like Vicks. And it was supposed to clear up any congestion that you might be having. Now, I don't know if that really ever worked or not. Now what I see people doing is they just buy the Vicks, or they put it right under their nose, or they put it all over their chest. They just rub it on. They don't even go to the machine anymore. I'm not sure if the machine was supposed to be better than just rubbing it directly on yourself. I don't know. I'm not really sure how that all worked. Does anybody remember the old Vicks Vapo machines or any home remedies? 740-383-9944. I remember the home remedy for chicken pox for the longest time was oatmeal. Oatmeal. You were supposed to take an oatmeal bath. Now, I don't know exactly what oatmeal was supposed to do. Now, at one time, I heard oatmeal was supposed to be rubbed on you because it would stop you from itching. And the biggest problem with the chicken pox was you don't want to scratch the scabs of the chicken pox, because they'll leave scars. And some people thought they would grow back. I don't know if they grew back or not. But I know when you would scratch them, you would scratch them and you'd get like a scar. But I don't know why oatmeal would cure scratching. I never really understood that one. And I think they might have used oatmeal for mumps as well. You know, I was never really sure what mumps was. I didn't have mumps. Matter of fact, I think there was a vaccine that allowed you not to get mumps that I took. So I'm not even sure what mumps was. I never really looked into it because I never really had it. Now, I did have chicken pox. Now, there's also there's some connection between chicken pox and shingles as an adult. Now, I'm not sure what that is either. Is it if you get chicken pox as a child, you can get shingles as an adult? Or if you didn't get chicken pox as a child, you won't get shingles as an adult? I'm not really sure. Does anybody know that? Does anybody have any old home remedies they used to use? 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you this morning, 29 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. There was just a lot of that stuff. And there was also this idea that the common cold had no cure. And I think that's still the case. But, boy, they sell an awful lot of cold medications. I don't know if that's supposed to get rid of the symptoms. Not cure the cold, but get rid of the symptoms. I'm not really sure. Because if there's no cure for the common cold, then what are we doing besides treating the symptoms? Now, a lot of people will just say, drink a lot of liquids. That's usually what the doctor tells you when you go in. Drink a lot of liquids. That's how you get over almost any kind of illness. You drink a lot of liquids. Well, I mean, I guess that's good advice. Now, most doctors, a lot of doctors I've been to, will tell you to take Gatorade because of the electrolytes in Gatorade. But I've always wondered, how many electrolytes are really in Gatorade? Are there enough in there to really make some kind of impact if you're having stomach flu or the flu in general or a cold? I don't know if there are enough electrolytes in there to keep you moving in a positive direction anyway. I really don't know. And as we've talked about before on this program, I still am really not sure, to be honest with you, what flu season will be like this year. You know, if we're all wearing these masks and it's all viral, it should be less. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Scott.
Good morning.
The shingles.
Yes.
If you have chicken pox as a child, then the virus is still, I guess, living, even though you're over the chicken pox, but that's how you get shingles.
Well, you know what's interesting? Now, here are two questions I have about this, which I've never really understood. Now, if you don't have chicken pox as a child, you can still get them as an adult. I remember my uncle never had them as a child and then ended up getting them, I think, in his late 30s, which was awful.
Awful, right.
Awful.
Right.
Because it's much... And I'm not... Have you ever heard, and I never really understood this, why is it so much worse when you get them when you're older?
I just think it's just harder on the adult body than it is the child's.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, I always wondered because I always thought about him because I remember when he got him, it was an awful, it was a big illness. It was.
Well, I've heard that mumps, if you get mumps as an adult, it's really, really bad. I've never had those, so I don't know.
Now, do you know what mumps are?
But my husband has had shingles, and they're awful.
Well, that's the thing I keep thinking is that if you had chicken pox as a child, then you are susceptible to shingles. But if you didn't have chicken pox as a child, then you're still susceptible to chicken pox as an adult.
Right, but I don't know if you didn't have chicken pox as a child, then you wouldn't be susceptible to shingles either, I wouldn't think. Shingles has something to do with the virus, the chicken pox virus.
Now, chicken pox I believe it's a viral disease because I believe you have to catch it from somebody.
Yeah.
But
yeah. You're supposed to only be able to get chicken pox once. But I had a daughter that had them twice because she had such a light case the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And she had like 5 spots, and then she caught him again, and she had like 3 spots. So I had to keep her home from school both times. But I'd always heard that you could only catch it once, and she caught it twice.
Now, is shingles viral? Even though you have the illness in you, do you have to encounter somebody else who has shingles?
No, shingles isn't. You can't catch shingles from somebody else. It's the way you. My understanding is that the chicken pox virus, even though you're over them, it's still laying there somewhere in your body. And I don't know how it's triggered. You know, I don't know how shingles. You need a doctor on your show.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting to me because I was never really understood. What oatmeal did for itching of chicken pox.
That I don't know either. I know that oatmeal's in a lot of soaps. Even like for my pets, you can buy, if they are itchy, you use oatmeal-based soaps to neutralize the skin.
You know, have you started to notice, because this always happens in October, it happens because kids go back to school, and it happens because we have a change in weather. I ran into so many people over the weekend who are suffering from allergies. They're sneezing. They're having sinus issues. The sinuses are draining, which makes their eyes look awful, and all these...
And if you're out in the store and somebody sneezes or somebody coughs, it's like... Oh, my God.
Well, that's it. And what's so weird, you know, even, like I said, I feel perfectly fine. I mean, I don't have any fever. I don't have any body aches. I just, you know, because of the weather changing, I just have a little bit of a, little tiny bit of a husky voice. I'm sure it'll clear up the more I talk. But, you know, people are highly paranoid of this.
Well, sure, with everything that's going on.
Right, and I don't know, you know, what do you do if you get the same thing you get every year and you really don't feel all that awful because you know what it is? Should you still go in and get a COVID test? Should you call your doctor? I don't even know how doctors are treating it at this point.
I don't know that either. I think you can tell if you don't feel well, you know, if you're kind of achy or you're running a fever, then... I would give it a few days and see what happens. But well, just, you know, the common cold and the regular flu, it's just hard to tell.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking into seeing, because I know this is going to happen fairly quickly, is that all these businesses that are taking everybody's temperature now, they started this back in the summer.
Uh-huh.
Well, the summer there wasn't a whole lot of call for this, but there are going to be people coming into work now who might have a little cold, who might even have a little touch of the flu, who are going to come in, who are going to register a fever. Now, they're not going to register a fever because they've got COVID. They're just going to register a fever because of the little illness they have. And, I mean, are they going to... See, because I'm still not sure. This is the whole COVID issue. If somebody comes in and they're working in your business,
uh-huh,
and they register a fever, now, I do understand that they're going to send you home if it's above a certain amount. But if they send you home, do you have to go get a COVID test before you come back? Do you just have to wait till your temperature goes down? I'm not sure how that works.
I would think it would be the company's policy. Whatever, you'd have to follow whatever they say.
I wonder what a lot of the company's policy is, because have you noticed, I've also noticed this, we have this mask mandate, which is still in place to my understanding.
Yeah.
But I am in the grocery store quite a bit, and as a customer and the other way.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see more people who don't have the mask on as customers, and nobody questions it. They really don't. Nobody from the store goes up and questions it. So I know all these people can't have breathing problems. So there's, but it's starting. I think we're getting into that period again where we're getting lax. And then I think again, here we go. River Valley starts today, going 4 days a week again. And none of the other schools are doing that. And I think, and I know River Valley has had some cases of COVID.
Of COVID. Uh-huh.
And I think, my goodness, why are we continuing to follow this pattern of everything gets good and we get some good numbers and then we loosen everything up and then we go right back to the bad. And then we get strict again. I don't understand why we've done this like 3 times now.
I think people just get tired. They're just tired of it. And I think, well, it's gone on long enough. It should be over.
I think we still got, I bet at least 6 more, well, maybe more than that.
I agree. this is, it's definitely not over.
Yeah. Well, but I don't understand why if nobody comes out and says it's over, why do people think it is? Why do people think they're going to will their way into not getting it?
Because that's just what you said.
Yeah, I don't know.
They think they can.
Because they think they can. You're right. Well, yeah, thank you for calling.
Sure, Scott.
Take care.
Bye.
And anybody else, call in. I'd love to hear from you on this. I think it's an interesting topic. 41 minutes past the hour here on a Monday morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Remember, if the phone line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, but keep on trying back in. Yeah, I never understood the whole chicken pox thing and how it was tied to shingles. I don't know how that works. I guess it's the dormant chicken pox virus that's in your body that leads to shingles, but I'm not sure how you get the shingles. I don't know if it just flares up or if there's something that has to go. You know, you used to think that was an older person's disease, but I'm certainly not sure if that's the case anymore. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you were talking about the Gatorade. They recommend Gatorade.
Yes.
That's normally if you're dehydrated, if your electrolytes are out of balance.
Right.
And you take the Gatorade. Used to be with a child, you would use Pedialyte, which has potassium and what have you to balance your electrolytes. And that's what Gatorade does for you. You can do the same thing with Jell-O. My son had a dog, and he says, the dog is vomiting, you know, coming out of both ends. What do we do? Give it some Jell-O. He did, and it straightened right out.
You know what? Here's the thing that I have wondered in regard to this whole illness. Now, okay, let's say you get sick, because I think a lot of this is going to happen because it's flu season, it's allergy season, it's all those things. Okay, let's say you start to get sick with the flu or allergies, but in the back of your mind, you think, ooh, maybe it could be COVID. Now, if you don't go take the test, then, I mean, I don't think anybody can force you to take the test. So if you don't go take the test, you might never know that you have or had it. And if you do go take the test and you test positive, even if you feel halfway okay, they are going to make you stay home for 2 weeks.
Well, you say if you have it, you don't know it. That's what they call asymptomatic. You could have the symptom and not be sick.
Right. You know, I think an awful lot of people, because right now financials are getting tough for people. I am seeing this big time. We are far away from that last stimulus, and I'm starting to see people cashing in their change. I'm starting to see people write more checks than I've ever seen before. I'm starting to see people, you know, half in cash, half on my card. You know, and I think this is all a sign of financial trouble.
Probably is, yeah.
And I don't know how much longer we're going to hold out with this, because, you know, we had the stimulus in April, and that seemed to keep everything moving okay. And plus, a lot of people got their tax returns. That helped, too. And then we had unemployment cut from 600 to 300 back in July. So we're really starting to see the effect of this now.
Well, it should be you see jobs advertised all over the place. And a lot of people that were getting that $600 stimulus, plus their unemployment, they were paying them to stay home, basically.
I think there are two issues going on with that. I think number one, a lot of these jobs that these people had who are getting the unemployment, a lot of them are restaurant workers because they haven't needed the manpower that they certainly did before COVID, and a lot of them are just jobs that haven't closed up. They just don't need as many people. Well, I think they don't want to go get another job because they think then they're going to lose the job that they have. They're going to have to quit the job that they have because maybe they're still working at 1 or 2 days a week. And I think the other issue there is that, these jobs that they're offering, yes, there are some factory jobs, but they're not, you know, there's this whole thing about, you know, people can work at home, and a lot of people are scared of the illness, too. They don't want to go back and work at home.
We had a hiring plan last week.
What's that?
Whirlpool had a hiring fair last weekend. It was advertised all over town.
Right. And I think that that's what it is. I think people are afraid to go into a lot of these places because they think they're going to catch the illness. It's uncharted territory to them. And I don't know. Have you figured out why places like Whirlpool all of a sudden are needing all of this help? I mean, a lot of people quit?
I can tell you exactly why. I'm trying to buy a new refrigerator and they're out of stock.
Right, but what happened to all the employees they had prior to this?
Well, a lot of them were retirees, and some of them don't want to work or didn't work out. they have an attendance policy that's more strenuous than what it used to be.
Right, but
if you don't show up to work, you don't have a job.
Right, but you know, prior to the pandemic, there were very few plants here in Marion, and I can speak to this as far as Yachio goes, Whirlpool goes, Honda goes. Nobody was offering these bonuses to hire in, and you know, you had to hire in through a temporary agency like a Deco. Well, all of a sudden, you don't have to do that, and it's only been since the pandemic. And I don't understand what the correlation is between the pandemic and now being able to hire people direct. I don't understand what happened there, because obviously when you're hired indirect, you're going to make more money because the agency's not going to take $3 out of your paycheck every hour. So I don't know why these businesses have fewer employees all of a sudden.
Well, I know Whirlpool normally has between 20 and 2,500 employees, full-time employees, and then they employed some part-time people or some temporary people. Well, when you have a bunch of retirees and you get down below that level that you normally have, then you have to put on more full-time people. And they screen, they want people that are dependable, not somebody that wants to work 2 days a week and take 2 days off. So,
well, that's understandable. I just don't know why it started all of a sudden. I don't know what the correlation is with the pandemic.
Well, I can tell you with Whirlpool, a lot of it was, there was parts coming from China, parts coming from Mexico, and they weren't being shipped because they were shut down over there. So that put them in a bind here. So then they had to lay off some people because they didn't have the orders to fill. Well, now all those orders are coming in, and you can't even buy a refrigerator because they're all out of stock because they're waiting on parts. They can't get enough parts. Same thing with automobiles. You know, they can't build enough automobiles because they can't get the parts for them.
Well, four years ago, because we had a big discussion on this station about why Mexico and China have the trade deals that they have. And I always said, the United States did not go into trade deals with these people because we wanted to sell our jobs down the line. That wasn't the reason. I mean, it ended up being part of the problem, but the reason is because they pay their people less money, which means they can produce the product for a whole lot less. And because they can produce it for a whole lot less, that means they can ship it here for less, which means the company can sell it for less, which means your refrigerator is going to be cheaper. And aren't we seeing that now that we are in issues with China and other countries around the world? Now, part of it is the pandemic, no doubt about it, but we're seeing what happens when we don't trade with these companies is we run out of items. We run out of we can't get a refrigerator.
If you remember, the NAFTA, it drove a lot of companies to other countries. But now they've raised the tariffs on the other countries, and you can build it as cheap right here in the United States as you can anywhere in the world. And the jobs are starting to come back.
But I haven't seen
the jobs come back, you need people to fill them. And there's signs all over Marion for hiring for all different types of jobs.
Well, yeah, I see there, but I don't see any new places opening up. I see jobs, but I don't see any places opening up. I mean, Yachio has constantly been hiring for years.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
For years. I mean, this has been going on since they opened their doors.
Yeah, Yachio has... Marion Industries,
Cardington, Utaka. They can never find people. But I don't know that's because of the economy. It's just they can't find dependable people who will show up.
Drugs.
Right. So and that's always been the case. But I don't see any new plants opening up. I mean, I know the car plants here in Ohio have shut down. I know that a lot of that has happened. I just don't know why all of a sudden. The whole reason we were having issues, and we saw it here in Merriam with Tecumseh, you know, the union wanted more money for their employees, which was going to force the items to be produced at a higher cost, and the company didn't want to do that. So I don't know why all of a sudden that would have changed, but I just like you said in the beginning, we can't get the parts from China, so we can't build the machines, so we can't get the goods.
Well, when Whirlpool first started years ago, there was a lot of small companies around Ohio and Michigan area that supplied Whirlpool. A lot of family-owned businesses. Well, as they became bigger and started needing more parts, those people couldn't keep up with the supply and demand, and they had to go to other places. One prime example, a good friend of the family's had Abbott Labs down in Prospect, and he produced the wiring assemblies for Whirlpool. Produced them for years. Well, then the sisters bought it out, but became Wire Assemblies, and then they sold it. And next it went to Reynosa, Mexico, and now it's in China because they kept going cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because they needed more parts.
Well, that's what I say. As long as you want a minimum wage in this country, as long as you want a retirement, as long as you want a 401k, as long as you want paid vacation, it's going to cost more. It just the refrigerator is going to cost you more because China and Mexico do not offer those things. There are not a minimum wage. Is not a minimum wage in those countries.
Right.
Not retirement, and that's why it happened. I don't think it happened through any fault of. Now we could have said we want to keep everything in America, but the problem is the good would have costed more. And one of the problems was the wage kept dropping down. Everywhere because they were kicking the unions out, and if you don't make as much money, you can't pay that for the item. I mean, it just inflation. That's what happened in the 70s. The deregulation really didn't come into the 80s.
That's a double-edged sword, though. The people made more at a union shop, but then they paid the union dues, and some of the union dues got really expensive. So were they really ahead?
I think on the whole they were. I mean, most union shops you paid, you know, what either once a month or once every paycheck, and they would take a certain percentage out, but they also protected your job, and they also...
And then every few years they'd have a strike, and they'd lose everything they gained. And you never gained anything on a strike.
Right, which is...
You sit out there and you've got a pittance for sitting on the chain gang there. And they would negotiate, and the union got more rich, but the average worker, well, he never gained back what he lost.
Well, but that's, I mean, if you remember the 70s, and it's one of the reasons Jimmy Carter could not get reelected, the Iranian hostage crisis was another, but one of the reasons was gas prices shot way up and everything was, but we had not deregulated at that point. We did not deregulate until Reagan came in. And one of the ways he got the economy a little more straight was because he said, you know, go to China, go to Mexico. You're allowed to do this now. We're going to deregulate the government. And that was one of the reasons.
That was the wrong thing to do, that NAFTA.
But it was an idea to try to save the malaise that we were in because we had gas lines, we had... companies all of a sudden who were just saying we would rather close than deal with the unions. Detroit was already falling apart as the big auto industry because people were not buying American cars anymore. You know, the Americans have always had a choice. Do you want to buy American or don't you? There is stuff that is produced here. It's just always more expensive.
That was the thing that always got me about Detroit, though. You know, when they started leasing automobiles, because the people making the automobiles were making $30 an hour, and the people trying to buy them were making $15.
Well, but so, you know, it's been the same
total,
thing with the
total inequity.
Well,
in fact, they said at one time in the 90s, the wage and benefit package of the Detroit automakers was $100 an hour.
Well, I always say this about the farmers, because the farmers have really not been deregulated as much as industry was. I mean, we still have a lot of farmers in this country, but I will tell you this, and to look this up, and it's absolutely true, the person who makes your cornflakes every morning makes less money than the person who made the box. The box costs more money than the cornflakes.
That's for sure. Coca-Cola found that out when they started making Coke, that little 6 ounce, 6.5 ounce bottle cost them 5 cents to produce, and they had to keep getting it back so they could clean it. And a broken bottle, there was 5 cents lost.
As
long as they got them back to clean them, then they made money on them.
Well, it's a fascinating thing because a fascinating thing because when you look at trade, once you take the politics out of it and who was president and who did what, you know, you realize why a lot of this stuff was done. I mean, nobody ever went in and said, let's do it to hurt the American people. People did it to try to dig us out of holes that we were in. I mean, if you go back and look at NAFTA, NAFTA came in right after we had a recession in the early 90s. We had a horrible recession. And I think it was the last time we had a recession in this country. And they brought it in because of the recession, because they were not able to produce in this country what they needed to produce. And you said it yourself in the beginning of the conversation. You know, we do have a lot of jobs that need to be filled right now. But that's exactly the problem. We can't fill them. They can fill them in China and Mexico.
When's the last time you've seen a congressman take a pay cut?
Oh, never.
People in pay raises and pay raises and pay raises.
Right.
One term they did, and they said, well, we're not going to give ourselves a pay raise. We're going to take a $75 a day deduction.
Yeah, I know.
What do you call that?
That's a whole other story, what's going on in Washington. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Well, also, you were talking about the allergies and so on.
Oh, yeah, go ahead, yeah.
You stop and think, what's going on now? They're harvesting.
Right.
All the pollen we had in the spring that left is now coming back when they harvest all these crops. And it's all in the air. You look all around, there's pollen everywhere.
Well, right, and people are just going to get that way this time of year, but what I'm worried about is are people going to confuse this with the pandemic, because that really wasn't happening a whole lot in the summer or spring. And if they do, you know, what's going to happen? Are they going to send people home and quarantine them for 2 weeks? I don't know how this is all going to shake out.
Well, I think if you look at the pandemic, it's a lot different, because they start having respiration problems and different things like that. Not just fever. In fact, they said some of it, you never get a fever, but you get the respiration problems. Like the president, his oxygen level went down a couple points, and that was a telltale. And then they gave him that Recitabin and Regeneron or whatever it was, and his oxygen levels came back up. So,
and we hope it goes well from there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. He's supposed to come home today, I think.
I think
back to the White House today.
Yeah. Hopefully everything gets better there. That's a.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you later. Let you go to your break.
Bye bye. All right, we do have a couple minutes here before we go to break, but if you'd like to buzz in, 740-383-9944, and we're going to come back and do open phone lines the next hour. Don't forget mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp at 10 this morning, 10 to 11 a.m., Voices of a People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Mike Wilson Show today, 5:10 to 6 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio. Phone lines are always open, 740-383-9944. Whole lot of conversation there. And, you know, we just try to inform and educate on this particular station. And remember, when I come back on the opposite side, I'm going to talk about a whole lot of stuff. Got a few interesting things I want to talk about, a confession to make about this past weekend. Stay tuned. I'll be back in 10 minutes. If you want to call in, we'll be back in about 10 minutes.
Gregory.
Well, I just said my prayer to the real God. I said, hey, man, there are some Negroes that deserve cancer, but I am not one of them. I said, if you need some help with your tie, you need 12 black folks, maybe. If you need something close to that, I'll give you that.